This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Having so much fun, it should be illegal. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Dude, what a show we had for a Monday to start this new year.
I know.
Max Christie to start the show. And people are sitting there going, hold on, y'all have Max Christie on?
Yeah.
That's why you got a Tolo, baby. All right?
And the Hardys. I feel like we really showed the Cowboys, hey, that's what you're putting out there? This is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we brought in the best all-time tag team wrestling team in the world. We brought in the superstar of the hour, Max Christie.
That's right.
And then we have Mickey.
He's a superstar of all times.
And we'll crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation here shortly. So, like, that's what we do here at this station. We just can keep producing awesomeness, and I like
it's
it.
Nice.
Your thoughts?
It's nice.
Oh, he helped out as much as he did on your segment there.
Man,
Alec, whenever he was awesome. Yeah, I love it.
All
right, guys. So, as per usual, we drive in and find out. I didn't do this last week. Because I wasn't here on Monday.
Okay.
So I went back and added the numbers up. The top 10 rusher records the last 2 weeks, 7-3. This week, 8-2.
Oh.
They were 9-1 until the Ravens lost. Derrick Henry's got to be furious about that.
The ebb and flow of that game, and I was like, well, this team's definitely going to win. Then Aaron Rodgers threw a sweet pass that Cheeto fell down on, and you're like, okay, well, now this team's going to win. And then they missed the extra point. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing.
Yeah, do you think that Lamar Jackson's, like, sitting in there looking around that room again going, guys?
This time I might be like, well,
I wasn't great enough either.
You missed a whole lot of time and stuff. So
that brings the grand total, Kevin and Alec, for the top 10 rushers each week to 121, 42, and 2.
Okay.
Top 10 passer records the last 2 weeks, both weeks, 5-5. That brings their total. This is fascinating. 83, 83, and 2.
I get that it's better, but it's just stunning how much better the rushing is. And everyone is like, well, if you're winning, you'll run up the ball. That is not how all of these wins came about.
No, absolutely not. No. But, I mean, just look at, like, the simple fact that the teams that are winning have a good running game to go along with their passing game. Matthew Stafford, and we'll talk Matthew Stafford, he's put together a fine season. He had a good running back, good running game to go along with it. Really good offensive play calling to go along with it, too. They changed everything. They said, we're going three tight ends. We're loading up on one side, have one receiver. Good luck to y'all trying to figure out what exactly we're doing out of this. And I think that they're going to continue to kind of, as we were talking about with the Hardys, evolve with what their personnel is. And that's what, I mean, you kind of have to do over time. Go back and look at the Patriots through the two or three dynasties that they had, Kevin. They evolved, right? Like one time they're out there going two tight ends and one receiver, then all of a sudden they got Edelman. They evolved offensively and defensively with whatever their personnel was. And their coach would ask and demand of their coordinators to figure out ways to do that. And that's why, that's what you have to do. So that's why a lot of people are looking at Eberflus saying, you didn't evolve with your team.
Yeah.
And whether or not your team, your players were good enough, you didn't do enough to adjust to that.
Well, and I go back to something Jerry said a few weeks ago when he said it was kind of a chicken and the egg discussion.
Yes, I agree.
And I was like, yeah, but I need to know which side you believe in to help me determine if you're going to fire Eberflus or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I needed to know.
Did you find out?
No, he didn't tell me. I guess when we get an answer to that question in like 4 weeks, then we'll know.
Jerry's like, I got all the chickens and eggs.
And yeah.
We just keep trying to figure it out. We don't know.
Yeah. Got to keep swinging that pick.
How do they get gold now? Don't they still go out there with a pan and like just put it in the river and then shake it?
I don't know.
877-881-1053. If you're in
gold miner.
Yeah, if you're a gold miner,
mm-hmm.
watch the movie. Oh, I need to tell you this off air.
Okay.
Watch a movie called Fool's Paradise.
You just said it was off air!
You want hits or misses from the weekend?
I want the misses to see if you have the balls to put Jadeveon Clowney in the misses.
Guys, Brady Cook completed 11 passes. This is honorable mention. 11 passes for 60 yards.
Jeez.
In a loss to the Bills. Oh. He did throw a touchdown, though.
Good job.
So in his 60 yards, he was able to complete a touchdown pass.
You know what would be even cooler is if that touchdown pass was for like 50 yards and the rest of them were just all checkdowns that went nowhere.
Guys, also on the honorable mentions list, Caleb Williams. Not only did his team lose, which obviously falls under the category of misses, but he fell short of 4,000 yards by around 60 yards,
all
meaning
right.
The Chicago Bears still are the only team in NFL history to not have a 4,000-yard passer.
I'm going to do my best to counteract, even though I know this is a losing endeavor. 3,942 yards. He also broke the Bears' record for passing in a season that had stood for 30 years of Eric Kramer, which that's kind of embarrassing.
Of course it was.
But does he get any credit for breaking an all-time team record?
Sure. It doesn't change the fact that the Bears still do not have a 4,000-yard passer.
Okay.
And, you know, more likely they're like, yeah, but do you remember we had Walter Payton? We didn't need to throw the ball back then. Nobody was throwing for 4,000 yards back then anyway, you dummies.
Still feels like it would have happened at some point, right?
Like, I would have thought the Jay Cutler era would have given them a 4,000-yard passer.
Yeah.
However, it did not.
Mm.
Kyle Orton. Nah, nobody thought that. But, yeah, so Caleb Williams, failure.
Damn.
We'll see if he can fix it in the playoffs.
Hold on. So if Caleb Williams makes it to the Super Bowl and loses, is he still going to
go? The Bears still don't have a 4,000-yard passer.
That's tough.
I am kind of curious on the front of he didn't throw for 270 yards. That was the number that we were kind of pointing to that he needed to get to, or 280, something like that. And I was like, man, he hasn't really done that this year. For as prolific of a passer as he is, he doesn't throw for big yards a lot.
Right.
That offense is still very Ben Johnson run first, figure out some ways to effectively pass the ball. And then the third person on my honorable mentions list, he had 3 sacks in one game, Jadeveon Clowney, but his team lost. Number 3.
So he's a miss.
Yes. Do y'all not understand this? It would be a hit if he hit and the team also hit at the same time.
Is there going to be somebody in the hits that had like 119 yards passing and you're like, but this team won?
Man, I got to go look at that. Actually, kind of.
That's outrageous.
Number 3, Alec Pierce. Everybody,
He got ejected. Great guy.
4 catches, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns, but his team lost.
And he got ejected, right?
Great day by the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And also he got ejected. What a game. Dude, to have 4 catches.
I got really nervous too, Alec.
To have 4 catches and 132 yards and 2 touchdowns and be ejected? Donovan Azaroku didn't even have a sack that he needed.
Doesn't that sound like the Gordie Howe hat trick?
Yes.
When he was getting a fight and then scoring. Yeah. All right, good job.
Number 2. The New York Jets, I don't know if y'all have heard or not, are the first team in NFL history to not have an interception.
What?
How is
this not number 1?
Here's what AI Overview said. Making them the first team in NFL history since stats began in 1933 to achieve this remarkable 0 interception feat. Though they had other takeaways. I love how they say to achieve this remarkable 0 interception feat.
It's remarkable
this
to me.
AI has no clue what they're doing.
I think it's Dick Nitrain Lane that holds the record for most interceptions in a season with 14. He had 14 more by himself than all of the Jets did this year.
By the way, the first operational jet engine to achieve operational jet engine flight was in 1939. So
Hold on, stop it. It's been 6 years longer that we've seen a team with no interceptions, then we figured out the jet effing engine?
Yeah.
What?
And the Jets are the first team to not do it, so makes a lot of sense now.
I think they should not have a name next year. Ooh. They should just go out there, the team in green.
The green team.
Yeah, get an interception, then you can be the Jets again. And interception.
The fighting Aaron Glenn's.
No, nothing. Well, how's that going to work?
He's not getting fired.
How do you have a defensive coach that gets you no interceptions?
Did you watch those Detroit Lions, dude? They weren't good defensively while he was there. They were all right.
It's confusing.
All right. Number one for me.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't see a way in which I don't disagree with this.
Their coach has been fired. Mm. It is the Arizona Cardinals, who lost 9 straight games. Also, 14 of their last 15 games they've lost. Kevin, do you know the only team that the Arizona Cardinals beat in the stretch where they lost 14 of 15?
I'm guessing it is your Dallas Cowboys.
It is the Dallas Cowboys. One win in a 15-game stretch against the Cowboys.
But that sucks, but it's happened before. You said since stats were invented for the Jets.
You know what, Kevin?
I think you should swap those.
I made the Jets, too, before I saw the Cardinals. I was looking for a one. And then I saw that stat on the Cardinals, and I was like, let's put them in at one. I'm with you, buddy. I'm making a 1A, 1B, the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Jets.
Good job, green team.
Yeah. In the hits, Tyrone Tracy, 103 yards rushing. The Giants had not had a 100-yard rusher in a bajillion games until Tyrone Tracy stepped on the field against the Cowboys, who were playing for their defensive coordinator's job.
Did you also see that bull crap where, like, for no reason, Russell Wilson said he had a hamstring tear before our game, where he threw for 8 million yards? I'm like, hey, put it in your book, buddy.
We saw it, yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear
it. Nobody needs that right now. By the way, we saw you with Ciara on New Year's Eve. Both of y'all look lost. I don't know if anybody watches the Ryan Seacrest party or whatever, but we always do.
Is that what it's called?
I think it's still the Dick Clark Show.
Oh.
Featuring Ryan Seacrest as the host that's been there for like the last 50 years, but.
Okay.
You know. She looked lost, dude. It was tough.
What's worse, that or when they did those pregnancy naked pictures? They're so weird.
Still so weird.
I don't understand.
So weird.
You saw it. Like, I don't understand.
It wasn't even his kid.
Yeah, I don't understand.
One of them wasn't his. It was Future's kid.
And he was, I don't like it.
They can't all be naked together.
Thank you.
Number two on the honorable mentions, Mitch Trubisky. 259 yards, 4 touchdowns, a 142.1 rating.
Wow. And they won. Okay.
That's a big deal there.
I better
have guys. Number three on this list, Matthew Stafford, capping off an MVP season, which might have been kind of boring MVP season. Like, I understand what he did. 259 yards, 4 touchdowns, awesome. His numbers, you look at them and you're like, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen MVP seasons that have stood out.
Yeah.
And broken records. And he just went out and was really good. And it deserves MVP.
Did you see with that he won the passing title for most yards?
Because Dak was taken out of the game early to make a point.
What's that point?
Be better.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You'll get to chase your titles.
He needed 156 yards in the second half. Dak specializes in that.
He does. That is true.
We could have gotten it done.
Number two. On the hits of the weekend, New England Patriots running backs, Ramondre Stevenson, 7 carries, 131 yards and 2 touchdowns. Travion Henderson, 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. But he got 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then number one.
They had 31 points at the half, right?
Yeah, man. They were rolling, dude. They're ready. They're ready for the playoffs. I'm ready to see how this thing goes. Number one, and his team won, Myles Garrett, who set the new single-season sack record, and his team won. Very big deal there.
That is a very big deal.
Congratulations to Myles Garrett.
Hold on. If they would have lost...
He would have been on the misses. Number one, probably.
I do like how you still rank them proportionately as if it was a good thing, but they end up in the misses list. Like, I would have thought he would be an honorable mention, because you'd be like, well, he did really good. This is a team loss.
Like this from 361. I don't know what's more impressive, Kevin's segue with Mrs. Balls or Corey's ability to not lose step and proceed. Look, we've grown up, you know, and I think that's an important factor. There was a time when we would have broken as a show.
Is that what you took from this show today?
We've all grown up. We're all grown up, Kevin. Mm. And that's the C Block, ladies and gentlemen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you know, we might just fire out another dose of Gridiron Gravy or another helping, but also Mavs and Stars Super Segment. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Third down, snap to Dart. Got all day into the end zone. He goes wide open. The running back, Tyrone Tracy, for the Giants, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll kick it off with another helping, a holiday helping of Gridiron Gravy, as a lot of transpirings and doings have happened today on the head coaching and GM front. Terry Fontenot for the Atlanta Falcons is out. Now, that creates a second GM vacancy for now, because earlier in the year, Chris Greer was let go by the Dolphins. And the Falcons also fired Raheem Morris, this despite the fact that they ended the season with four straight wins, I believe, after they were eliminated from playoff contention, went from 4-9 to 8-9 to cause the three-way tie in the NFC South, which put the Carolina Panthers in the playoffs, despite the fact that they lost to the Bucs when the division was kind of sort of on the line.
Wow, that was a lot.
It was.
That's
it really
was.
That's
why nobody likes the NFC South.
I mean, but what if I told you that wasn't the worst division in football? We'll get to more of that tomorrow. Now, previously, the Titans had fired Brian Callahan. The Giants had fired Brian Daboll. But today, the Cleveland Browns fire Kevin Stefanski. The Raiders fire Pete Carroll. And the Cardinals fire Jonathan Gannon, to go along with the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons Raheem Morris firing. Do you think that is the end the head coaching firings? Because I know we focus.
There could be about 14 firings, Kevin.
Man, you think a lot of people are doing
maybe 25. Who knows?
Subpar jobs.
Yeah. I mean, and I think there are a lot of people doing subpar jobs in the front offices for these teams, too. And on the field. Like, I think that there's a lot of people to be blamed. And that's where the owners and GMs have to sit down. They're not trying to fire themselves in most instances. GMs I saw Ross Tucker point out, I think two GMs, you said, have been fired, and six coaches. And he was like, this idea that GMs and head coaches are tied at the hip is a fallacy. I mean, it always comes down to the guy that sits next to the owner in the suite while the other one's out there coaching. That's where that conversation, like, he's making friends with the owner while the manager or the coach is down there fighting for his life. And then he looks up, and that guy's glad-handing and all that, and everything's okay. I think there might be one or two more, but a lot of these teams want to get out in front of things.
Yeah.
They want to get the ball rolling as quickly as possible. The recruitment trail does not stop, as we say in college football. So I think that's a big factor there, is any team that hasn't already made that decision didn't need yesterday to change their mind.
Now, the Bengals made the announcement that they're going to keep Zach Taylor as their head coach, and then Duke Tobin is going to keep his spot as well. All right.
You hate that your organization has to tell people that.
Yes.
We've decided to keep this guy.
If you have to make an announcement,
you hate that.
Yeah, it's not. It probably didn't go very well for you. All right, let's talk about kickers. Go ahead and give me cut number five, because I know this kick was no good, but I have information.
57 kicks away from 57, and the kick is no good. Missed it to the left. He has missed six field goals, and five of them have been of over 55 yards.
So that part doesn't feel as bad for Brandon Aubrey, but positive for Brandon Aubrey. He was the first Cowboys player ever to make a field goal in 16 games in a season. He made another one yesterday, so he's the first Cowboys player ever to make a field goal in all 17 games. You could argue that's a good thing, but I also feel like you could argue that is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Does he have the longest outdoor and indoor field goals?
He has neither. Both of them are held by Cam Little. Now, let's talk about that. Last year, kickers kicked 15 field goals of 60-plus yards. How many do you think they made last year of the 15 from 60 or more?
Five.
They made four.
Right.
Going back to 2014, there wasn't a single kick of 60 or more yards made. In the 1900s, there were only four field goals.
Don't say that, dude.
Okay, in the 1900s. Because in the 20th century, it confuses people.
Mm-hmm.
In the 20th century, there were only four field goals of 60 or longer
made. The whole century?
A whole century.
All right.
This year, 22 field goal attempts on 60 yards or longer. Kickers made 12 of them. 12 of 22. That means this season, if you lined up for a 60-plus yard field goal, there was a better chance that you made it than didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Maybe Earth's altitude's changing.
Earth's altitude, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And Brandon Aubrey led the pack with three of those. But as you said, he does not hold the indoor or outdoor field goal record.
This might be a conversation for another day. But I asked you this morning, because I was listening, as usual, and as everybody should, I was listening to the post-game show yesterday. And Zach Wolchuk, he was like, look, you pay Brandon Aubrey. And I do agree that if you have somebody like that, you want to have them on the line whenever the game is on the line. He's the guy I would want there, no matter where it is from. But my question to you is, where do you think he ranks? And where do you think kickers rank in most great teams?
He's too high.
He's like third
on this team.
Fourth on this team.
Yeah. No, like you want your kicker to be awesome
but
and
not
be
the
like
top
10. The 10th or 11th best player on your team. You don't want him to be like, man, maybe Brandon Aubrey is our best player.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yes. And that's why like my concern is I know that they're going to have to spend money on him. But they might have to spend money that makes him such a valuable piece that you're like, should a kicker be that valuable?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the position is not valuable. I'm just saying he shouldn't be ranked that high. Your talent should be stacked up enough that dude's low.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And by the way, in case you needed an encouraging sign.
And is he the best at his job in the NFL?
I mean, I'm sure Cam Little would like a word about that. But I would certainly put Brandon Aubrey up in that group. Him and Dicker the kicker are all kind of at the top of the heap.
Okay, so, and it's good to find that because if you don't have it, you hate it.
By the way, do you know the Ravens kicker? Did you know he had not missed a single field goal of less than 50 yards this season until the last play of the regular season when everything was on the line?
And he, like, I hate that for him.
Yeah. Did you see even the holder could only be like, sorry, buddy. And then he had to walk away, too.
I just pushed him over. What were you doing?
All right, dummy. In what might have been, and I believe you expect to be the last game of Travis Kelce's career, he became the fastest tight end in NFL history to reach 13,000 receiving yards, did it in 192 games, and he also now has 75-plus receptions in 10 straight seasons,
dang,
tying for the longest streak in NFL history with Tim Brown of the Raiders per the NFL, and obviously we talked a lot about Mike Evans being in that mix.
KNC's
well.
Friend Tim Brown.
That's right.
As heard on 105.3 The Fan.
That is correct. Now, do you guys want to stick with football? Do you want to do Mavs and Stars Super Segment? How are we feeling?
I like some Mavs and Stars if that's where you want to roll to. I'm always down to talk more football.
Sure. All right, we'll talk more football. How about with G-Bag Nation?
Sounds good to me.
And right now, we'll kick off the Super Segment. Can you go ahead and give me cut number 17? And we'll start with what the hell is up with the Stars.
Back to him, set to the cross, shot, score! All tied up, courtesy of Wyatt Johnston.
Now, that was not technically a power play goal, as I believe they scored it like 1 or 2 seconds after the power play ended, but I thought that power play looked a lot better than their first power play of the day. Once again, you get to the realm of overtime and shootout, but once again, you lose. That is five straight losses for the Stars. So out of the last possible 10 points, they have gotten three. Now, I know it's a little tricky because you've lost four of those five, 4-3. And three of those losses came in overtime or a shootout. But you also lost to a team like Chicago, who is not good, twice. And you have seen this Stars team, man, for the first time since the very beginning of the season, really, really struggle. And I think the second period was indicative of that because, once again, they were just getting outshot like there was no freaking tomorrow.
I do believe that the Bischel is off the scooter, Kevin.
Okay.
So that's a positive. He is progressing in his recovery, no longer using a scooter, and could start skating at the end of the month.
Okay.
So that's a long way away, but this is where we are. It's a long way away from where we were before, too, when he first got injured. That is according to our friend Brian Ray, and Jamie Benn still being evaluated. Gullitson said he's not going to be on the eastern leg of this road trip to start. How much of injuries plagued this team?
See,
they were good.
I know.
They were still running.
And that's why I don't think I'm going to say that, because I don't think it's injuries that have been responsible for a chunk of this losing streak right here, because they had a lot of the same injuries when they were still winning. And I'm going to put this in perspective just to show how good the Stars have been this year and then how unfreaking believable the Avalanche are. The Stars are currently losers of five straight. They are tied for the second best record in all of hockey, or the second most points in all of hockey. The team they're tied with is also in their division. The team they both trail by 11 points is also in their division.
This is really weird that the way it is lined up, because Dallas is 25-9-8. Minnesota, they're tied with in points, 25-10-8. And that's just weird to me. But maybe they just looked at Colorado and they were like, they might do something historic this year.
Yeah.
Let them. We don't need to chase that. Dude, when does the Olympics start so we can get this break in?
Okay, so
we need some rest.
It might be tomorrow, but if not, certainly by Wednesday.
The Olympics start tomorrow, Kevin.
No.
What?
This was a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to have an Olympian on the show. But not tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. I did a breakdown of why the Stars have struggled so much in 5-on-5 hockey.
I dare you to unleash that thing.
Okay. Well, not like you said. But the Stars continue to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The struggle. Casey DeSmith took a leave of absence from the team for personal reasons.
I don't think Kevin's ever been that mad
about Casey DeSmith.
Yeah, he was like, what is this?
No, take care of your
personal
problems.
Stuff.
But my point is, for as much as the Stars have struggled, they still have the second most points in the NHL. And for Colorado, they finish half the season. Mm-hmm. They have three losses in regulation.
It's nuts. That's nutso, dude. That is nuts. This, though, concerns me for them.
And they just got the third one.
Because they're a good team. Like, there's no doubt about that. They're a good team. But is this the team that's like the Rangers when they didn't win it, and then they came back the next year and didn't win it, and then the next year they came back and we'll show everybody.
I mean, they are out to the same, like, as the 2012 hot first half of the season. Like, could not conceivably be any better. And if you go back, remember that 2012 season, it looked like the Rangers were the unquestioned rulers of Major League Baseball. You're like, this is the best team in baseball. Josh Hamilton's the best player on the face of planet Earth. They got it. And then, not really.
By the way, breaking news, the Olympics are the last...
I wasn't saying the Olympics start tomorrow.
The last game before the Olympics is February 4th. All right? So that's going to be a battle against St. Louis at home. And then from February 4th to the 25th, there's a big window.
I did not say that the Olympics started tomorrow.
Well, for the people that didn't know, because they were confused, because maybe I confused them. Now we know.
All right, give me cut number 16.
Olympics should start in that window somewhere.
No, they will. Not should. They will.
Kevin says they might.
Is it the breakdancing lady from Australia? No.
It on ice?
Is not. And from the 641, quit disrespecting my Blackhawks. It's called rebuilding. Hey, but you're not there yet, and you still managed to take down the Stars twice in the span of a few days. All right, give me cut 16.
Thompson, a steal, deflection, Williams got it back. Klay Thompson with plenty of time here. And upstairs, high to the sky, grabbing it to finish.
All right, so we talked with Max Christie earlier today. I'm going to address this real quick. Kevin, what channel will the Olympics be on tomorrow? No! No!
Are we carrying it here?
No! No, because it's not starting
tomorrow. Dude, I wish we could do Olympic coverage.
I mean,
that'd be so dope.
I don't know. If
Mickey got to do it once.
That is a great point. We'll see what we can do about that. All right, we had Max Christie on earlier in the show. In the last three games, 4 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, shooting 66% from the field, 55% from three, and averaging 22.3 points per game. Look, I know we talk a lot about Cooper Flagg. We've had Brandon Williams on, now Max Christie. Those are three players that if you continue to see them improve throughout the season, that makes it feel like this season is going to be somewhat of a success. I know a lot of people will define it by the record. I totally get that, and this does not look like a playoff team. But if you see those three progress, I feel like that's a win for the season, right after they just beat a really good Houston Rockets team again.
Yeah, I mean, continued advancement for the younger players on this team, knowing that Flagg is going to hit the wall and touch the wall and feel the wall.
Yeah, so
and be one with the wall.
You are fascinated by that kid quote. He goes, "So touch this rookie wall. I think he's touching right now, and be able to play through it is a positive." Is that the quote that's really got you
so
turned around?
By yeah. It, dude. There's more to it. He just felt like he just kept going on about touching the wall. I'm like, I don't know, man.
All right, so Corey wants more. Look, I want to have Jason Kidd on now just so he can...
I need to know more about the wall.
...go over that quote. But yeah, you did see a subpar game from Cooper Flagg, but you're still able to get the win over a very good Rockets team. So big win for the Mavs. But both the Mavs and the Stars are struggling right now. The good news is the Mavs have pushed... Stars have put up an unbelievable cushion so they can kind of withstand some of this, whereas the Mavs have little to no room for error. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we'll chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Half to Dart, inside handoff to Singletary, cuts left, steps right, pushes, gets to the goal line, touchdown Giants.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Pretty dang good, Higgs. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really well. I wanted to go over to the fellas from the pre- and post-game yesterday. What was the vibe that you got from the people, especially in that post-game show after, I say, did the right thing, but you really got knocked around in that second half?
Ooh, I think everybody was just ready for draft talk, honestly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's just what I heard.
Let's move on. Yeah. Season's done.
Yeah, I told Zach, if we start talking about who we're going to pick at 12, let's 3 hours of draft talk. And he's like, I'm in.
Let's do it.
And I think the fans were totally in on it, too.
Yeah, it was really not about the Giant game and Dak not playing in the second half and how it started. It was just all about a look at the offseason.
Did you kind of feel like, even with Dak playing, that they might lost that
yes,
game?
Yes, that is exactly what I thought.
Nobody looked like their heads were in it.
I didn't feel like they had a really good answer
the culture,
for what the Giants were doing in that
momentum
game.
Into next season.
Yeah.
Do you think all of that was bull crap, or do you think they were like, we might lose this game with Dak? Let's pull him to be like, oh, well, we didn't play Dak.
Aesthetically, it was a bad game, right? They were telling me about aesthetics last week, and yeah, it's important for us to be 8-8-1. You played like you wanted the first overall pick yesterday.
Which is perfect. I mean, the ultimate outcome, I think, is exactly...
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you're right.
It's exactly what we want here.
No, you're
like,
right.
Hey,
you're
you
right.
have huge problems.
Until you miss the 12th pick, and then we get really mad doing that.
Well, that's when you start drop-kicking people.
We got Dawson on the scout.
Resort to violence.
Oh, yeah?
28 players in, Hagee.
Okay.
How about that?
Yep.
Wow. How do you like it?
I think it's perfect. You know, this zone, like between 5 and 15, as far as the quality of players, I think there's some really good players in there. And the fact that you didn't win is terrific. You know, I think that might be why I'm in such a good mood today. The Cowboys picking at 12.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Man,
huge.
I like it.
Absolutely.
And then you might just get picked 19 or 20 from the Packers. If we can get the Panthers to win
nice.
And then the Packers to lose, we'll get that 19th pick after all.
But the draft, the draft is, you have your handful of picks. Yesterday, listening to the post game, 6 or 7 different players or spots need to be filled.
Yep.
They need to get out in front of this now. Like, they need to be going.
Yeah, if you mess around and don't do anything in free agency, the draft will not matter one bit.
True.
I mean, you cannot sit here and tell me that you're going to bottom fish and tag Pickens and think everything is going to be okay and change the coordinator. That ain't happening. I am not going with that plan at all.
Yeah, you can't depend on bottom fishing in the 2 first round picks. They need to get aggressive early, and I think there is a decent chance they do that considering what they've done already this calendar year or last calendar year with George Pickens and Quinnen Williams. But I really want this to start with a trade for Max Crosby. I think that is what would make me feel like, holy crap, they're really going for it.
Okay, what does that cost draft?
Well, okay, then Dawson just showed you what he's planning on looking at 25 guys. That's it.
Okay. All right.
Dawson's gonna evaluate 25 guys. Me and Wolchuk are going to still have to do 200 and some odd, you know. But
don't forget Puka.
Yeah, don't forget Puka.
Consider him forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that if you're the Raiders, you have to ask for both ones.
They're not getting it.
You absolutely have to ask for both ones. Mm. And we had somebody call in the post game, and he was trying to tell me, and he was trying to give him Oso Digizua and something else. And that's
and I'm the 12th pick.
And then I asked him, I go, okay, let me ask you a question. What if they ask for both ones? Well, I don't know about that. I go, you're not committed to making this trade then. You're trying to kind of work around it, convenient trade. When I wanted to see how committed he was.
Yeah.
If you're committed, like Dawson just said, he's committed to giving up 12 and 20 to go get that player. I think I'm right about that. Am I right?
No, I would not want to do that.
Okay.
No. I just want the player.
So the question then is, you honestly, that if that's how you feel, you shouldn't trade. Now, they might feel totally different, but if I'm the Raiders, as talent poor as I am, you give me 12, you give me 20, and you want me to send the papers in, or do you want to send the papers in? That's where I'm at right now with this.
I'm going to smoke those papers and say thanks, but no thanks.
You want me to have 12
picks? I thought you wanted to make the trade because you were thinking like, I'm not sure about the Tennessee edge. I'm not sure about the Texas A&M edge. That's where I thought you were going here.
What I was going from is, as we went into the trade deadline, it wasn't like you have to give up a Myles Garrett type of compensation package to get Crosby. I thought because of his age, maybe a 1 plus a day 2 pick could get it done.
Yeah.
And I'd be hoping I could get you interested in 2027 draft capital, you know, because I need to make this a go for it year.
Yeah. Well, I think the Raiders would hold you up.
Yeah,
I do personally.
I think they'd try, but I don't know that they'd find better than the 12th overall pick if the Cowboys dangled that out.
Oh,
there.
Sure, but what else are you going to give them there? Are you going to throw the Oso Digizua in there and all that?
I'm happy to. Yes.
Maybe. Oh, I know you are. But are the Raiders? If if you're really watching this, if you're shipping them any defensive players, don't the Raiders laugh at you?
No, because the Raiders are actually in a financial situation where they have to spend to meet the minimum spending on their salary cap. They actually need to take on bigger salaries, especially if they're going to be moving on from the big salary of Max Crosby.
Free agency then.
No,
huh?
For sure. Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about moving on for, like, you're $90 million away from meeting the minimum in the salary cap floor. So if you got $90 million to go play in free agency, then kudos, but otherwise, why don't you take an Os or take a salary similar?
I'm trying to make my team not have the first overall pick again this year or next year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get better players is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get
better than Osa?
Yes. Yes. Don't do that. Don't sit there and throw Osa out there and act like
I'm throwing you the 12th pick. Is somebody in the top 11 giving you their first round pick? I don't think so.
This is the best
possible pick you're going to get, bro.
Then
Spytek, what you want?
How about I take your 20 as well? Because I'm not interested in Oso Digizua.
okay, well then then maybe we have to reconsider things.
Then you're telling me you don't want to do a deal.
I think you're telling me you don't want to do a deal because you want the 20th pick more than I want Max Crosby.
Well, that you called me for Max Crosby, though. Called me.
I'm calling you for a player that's 29 and about to have a knee surgery, right? So I'll give you the 12th overall pick, and I'll take on that risk that he's going to be the same player.
I got to pay
later
the guy
on
too.
In his 30s.
I got to pay the guy.
Yeah, I'm paying him. I'm paying for Max.
No, I'm paying for Max.
No, I'm taking on his contract from you.
You only have to eat $5 million.
I'm taking his deal.
I'm just telling you, though, why would the Raiders want to take anything? That's their best player.
Because Max Crosby doesn't fit their timeline now anymore. They're building a whole new team for the future. They're going to take Mendoza number one or whatever quarterback, and then now they're going to have the 12th overall pick to be able to take an offensive lineman.
And I'd also like the 20th pick too.
Yeah, you can like the 20th pick, but go ahead and call somebody else if they want to offer you 2 1s.
That's fine.
I don't think you're going to get anybody to offer you 2 1s for Max Crosby right now.
I'll keep the player then. I'm fine. I'll keep the player.
Well, you can circle back and call me, and I'll have that 12th pick.
This is how you think the negotiations would go or could go.
Absolutely.
Great role play, boys. That was.
I you know what? That's fine. I'll keep the player because I know there's somebody out there. There's somebody that gave 2 1s for Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons is four years younger?
It doesn't matter. Max Crosby. Max Crosby is a better player. You can't tell me he's not.
I think he's a better all-around player, but I do think the age factor here has to come into play. You're trading for a player entering the prime versus a player that is now going to be towards the end of his prime. The Cowboys are in a win now. We're trying to maximize the Dak Prescott window.
So,
the Raiders now are looking at, we're totally rebuilding our team and looking to the future. These are two different teams on two different time.
So you're
now.
Willing to you want to go ahead and trade for a player that you feel is older and all that stuff?
Because he helps my football team right now win now. So I can sacrifice the 12th overall pick, which I can maybe take a rookie in David Bailey from Texas Tech and hope he hits, or I have a known commodity in Max Crosby, and I'm going to maximize that Dak Prescott window for the next 3 or 4 years. And I don't care if he sucks.
Here's your first segment to continue.
That got tantric.
What do you guys got coming up on?
Yeah, I'll just keep role playing together. I love it.
Pure Gold, as always, Hedgy, thanks for asking. More of that as we're off and running. Day one of the offseason here.
I love it.
It's going to take us 12 days to figure out about the coach. Hang in there.
Yeah. That's a whole different. I'm with you on that. Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 to 2, right here on The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.